ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 4, Text 3. Saevayang maya tedya yoga prokta puratanah bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanah bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science owing to his being a great devotee of the Lord, but for the demon it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge. Some of them have commentaries by the devotees and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demonic, however, do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Sa evayang maya tedya yoga prokta paratanaha bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hi etaduttamam. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Hare Krishna. Happy to see all the devotees here. After what seems to us to be a long time, not nearly as much a long time as Krishna is speaking about, sakaleneha mahata. Krishna is speaking about the time going back to when he spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. So we didn't need to see each other for a long time, but not that long compared to the millions of years that passed between Krishna speaking to the sun god Bhagavad Gita and Krishna speaking to Arjuna, the same Bhagavad Gita. And even 5,000 years ago, it seems like a very long time to us because we have such a short life, kshana bhangura. The term is used in Srimad Bhagavatam that life is just very short. Kamala dala jala jiva nar talamala. It's uncertain, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. It can drop down at any time, and for sure it won't stay. This topic of the ancientness of the knowledge that Krishna spoke, and that he's speaking it, the same knowledge, is a topic that I've taken up in two recent lectures. One was about 2 months ago when I was speaking on the principle of continuity, and again last night I spoke on that. I'd like to speak on it again now. It may seem like a very basic principle, easily understood. And it is. It's not a difficult thing to understand. But it needs to be repeated. Recently I saw on a blog by one of my God brothers who mentioned that in his experience, many devotees read Bhagavad Gita once and they think, well, okay, I read it once, I understood, it's all pretty simple, and okay, finished, don't need to read it anymore. Maybe the idea is something like, at school, once you learn arithmetic, then you go on using it in algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus, and so on. It's the same arithmetic, the same basic stuff. So you don't need to revise arithmetic. Once you got it, you got it. Or like riding a bicycle. Once you know, even Srila Prabhupada in his old age said, I can still ride a bicycle. So it's something you don't forget. So we might think, well, Bhagavad Gita, it's simple. Basic knowledge, and it's incorporated in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, just like arithmetic is incorporated in algebra and so on. However, as Lord Krishna has stated in the previous verse, Ivang parampara praptam ivang raja ashayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The knowledge, which again is referring, in the second verse, Krishna is referring back to the first verse. And in the third verse of this chapter, which we just read, Krishna is referring back to the second verse. So the knowledge which Krishna spoke, in due to the kale neha mahata, kala, in this world, time, and then in this world, Kalena, in the course of, by the influence of time. And Iha, in this world. Mahata. So Mahata here, you know the word Maha means great. So it can mean a very long duration of time. It can also mean due to the very powerful influence of time. Either way, the term Mahata can be taken here, modifying the term Kalena. So by the powerful influence of time, the knowledge that Krishna spoken has become forgotten. So this is a very important principle to understand, maybe more for us than for Arjuna. Because for Arjuna, it is a principle that he has imbibed within the culture he has grown within. Of course, Arjuna is a great pure devotee of Krishna, and he's with Krishna always. So we're speaking in a somewhat conventional manner when we say Arjuna is influenced by the culture. But at least until recently, within Indian culture, it was understood that old is best. And if something is new, it's suspicious. Whereas in the present culture that we live, we think new is best. Old means it must be out of date. The idea that we were, or our ancestors were, blobs of amino acids that joined together and became proteins, or whatever the latest version of Darwinian biological evolutionary theory is, or whatever the versions are. Whatever the versions are, the idea is that we are progressing. We are biologically progressing from amoebic blobs to up through the tree of life, and became humans, and then we became civilized, and then we invented so many things. And in this way, human society is progressing. And what was known in the past, that is out of date. New is better. The new theory must be better than the old theory, because the old theory, in the old theory, it was based on what we knew at that time. But since that time, we did more research and we discovered new things. And also, different thinkers have reflected on the issues further and come up with new ideas which give us new perspectives. And therefore, the old ideas, they are outdated, outmoded, and whatever is new, the new theories, they must be better because they take into account perspectives and knowledge that we didn't have before. So new is best, and old is at best outdated, if not wrong. Just like, for instance, once Srila Prabhupada was speaking with an antagonistic female journalist in America about women being less intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada offered these scientific evidence that he had heard from, he cited the authority, Srila Prabhupada offered, cited the authority, Dr. Urquhart, who he had learned from in Scottish churches, colleges, at the turn of the previous century. And then the woman, she laughed and said, "Ah, oh, I see, well, that's a long time ago, so that's old science. So it can't be very good. What we have discovered since then must be better." So that's the outlook in the atheistic demoniac society of the present day. It's not necessarily that all atheistic and demoniac societies have such an outlook regarding the progress of human society, but that is characteristic of the atheistic demoniac society in which we presently live and are influenced by, unless we agree to be influenced by, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is received in disciplic succession through all the acharyas down to Srila Prabhupada and on. To give an example, I read many years ago in a book which was written for Christian missionaries in Bangladesh. And it addressed had many insights into culture and so on, because the Christian missionaries wanted to connect with the people. Of course, we, the followers of Srila Prabhupada messed up the Christian missionaries' plans by preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement in a place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is the culture of the Hindus. The Christians were working among the Hindus, and we torpedoed their missionary activities by informing the people, the Hindus of Bangladesh, that Krishna consciousness is spread all over the world. And then the Christian mission, once that news spread all over Bangladesh, the Christian missionaries were finished. They had a hard time after that. Anyway, in the booklet that I read, they gave the example that people are rooted in the, what the, I suppose the Christians thought, the misconception that whatever is old is good. So if you try to introduce some new farming techniques, then they'll listen politely and at the end someone will say, well, our forefathers didn't do it like that, and that's it, they reject the whole thing. With the understanding that what is old is good. So it's a completely different perspective on human society, the idea of human evolution toward an ever more enlightened. That's the idea of the modern idea, using modern in a very broad sense here. So everything's getting better. Of course, that idea has, it really started to come undone in the 1960s in America with the counterculture and the hippies and rejecting, we don't like your society, your materialistic society. But more or less that is the establishment orthodox idea that goes on in the schools up to the present day. That we are evolving physically, mentally, culturally, and we're getting more and more advanced. Although this story or this myth is getting more and more difficult to sustain, as it's seen that culturally, morally, man doesn't seem to be evolving, seems to be devolving. And that is the understanding in Vedic culture that humankind is getting worse as time goes on. There is Satya Yoga, in which everyone is saintly, less so in Treta Yoga, less so in Dwapara Yoga, and in Kali Yoga things get worse and worse day by day. Tatascanudinam dharma satyam shocham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshantyaya balang smritihi. The same thing. Sakaleneha mahata in this Gita and in the Bhagavatam by the Satyam Sochum Shimadaya Kalena Balina, the same thing is said. By the power of time, everything gets worse in Kali Yuga day by day. Day by day, everything. With each following day, all good qualities in human society decrease. And some examples are given in this verse. Truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, compassion, lifespan, physical and mental strength, nangshantaya balam, yeah, that's it. So everything desirable decreases in Kali Yuga. Things get worse. We can expect things to get worse, not better, in the course of time. It's not that in course of time things are going to get better. And then there's a reset. At the end of every Kali Yuga, there's a reset. When Just like in computers, it used to be more so previously. Not in Mac computers so much, but every so often the whole system gets hung up. It just gets all confused internally, and you have to reset. You have to reset the system. It's just, it can no longer function. So you have to reset. So the end of Kali Yuga is a reset. Okay, things are too bad. Just Kalki comes, finishes everyone off. These people are hopeless. There's no use trying to preach to them. Just kill them all, and then there's a few good people, and then we start all over again. And then in course of time, everything breaks down. How is that? Why do things break down? Well, one thing is, if the teachers stop teaching, if they become lazy or discouraged, or the pupils, they don't want to hear. These things, they take place in course of time. It's very gradual. Things break down. For various reasons, those who are supposed to teach the truth. What is it? The old. Why is. Oh, at that point I should discuss first. The old is better. Why? Because it's understood that knowledge is given to human society. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. This knowledge was given to Brahma at the beginning of creation, or before creation. And then along with creation, Brahma manifested the Vedas, along with the supplementary knowledge. So that knowledge is introduced in human society, and then it is passed down. But if it's not... one thing is, if it's not regularly taught, it becomes forgotten. And then some may interpret in their own way also. Or it may be that the who is hearing doesn't exactly grasp the point. And in the next generation, they teach the some slight misconception to their disciples. And then the slight misconception, that becomes developed into a philosophy. It may be tangential in the beginning. You don't even notice. If one line deviates from another by one nanometer, at one point one line deviates from another by one nanometer of an angle, it won't be noticed. But as the line becomes longer, then it gradually becomes further and further away. It may seem that it's not a big difference. Someone may say something and someone may say something slightly different. And it might not seem to be a very big thing, but the implications can be tremendous. One example I've just been thinking of recently, the jiva or the atma is consciousness. Is that right? The atma is consciousness. Right? Chinmatra. That's Shankaracharya's philosophy. The atma is consciousness. Chinmatra. Consciousness only. Chin means chit. Consciousness, matra means only. The Vaishnava Acharyas don't disagree with this, but they qualify the statement by saying that the Atma is the seat of consciousness. Not exactly consciousness itself. Bhagavan is chinmatra. All consciousness resides in him. But if we say the Atma is consciousness, now consciousness potentially, there is the potential that we can know everything, theoretically, but only very theoretically, because we are very limited. We can know about certain topics. Someone knows how to steer a ship. Someone knows how to grow straight carrots. Do you know how to grow straight carrots? No. You put a toilet roll in the ground and put the carrot and it grows. Oh, first you have to sift the earth so there's no stones. Why does it grow wonky? Because there's a stone in the way. So that's how you grow a straight carrot. Or you can just buy it from Tesco or Spar. But so different people know different things, but we can't expect everyone to know everything. But theoretically, one could know everything, but practically we can't because we're very limited living beings. Consciousness theoretically can comprehend any knowledge anywhere in any part of the universe and can extend to any part of the universe and in all three phases of time, past, present and future. But practically that consciousness is only in Bhagavan. Our ability to understand is limited to our minuscule existence. So the idea that the jiva is consciousness, it is linked with the idea that there is only consciousness. That Brahma is consciousness. And it's all-pervading, all-knowing. And when we become free from illusion, then we merge into that great consciousness. Whereas, if we understand that the jiva or the atma is the seat of consciousness, localized seat of consciousness, then that admits our limited, dependent position. Bhagavan is all consciousness. He's this, and the seat of supreme consciousness, the receptacle, the person. So it's a small thing. It seems like a small thing to say that the Atma is consciousness only. But to say that the Atma is the possessor of consciousness, that is more accurate. If we say the Atma is consciousness, it's not incorrect. Just like saying that the sun is light. That's true. But to qualify and better understand this, we have to say that the sun, there is this the sun globe, the sun god, and the sun light. So to say that the sun is light is not incorrect, but it's not a complete understanding. So if we propagate that Atma is consciousness without further explaining that, it leads to, although it may seem like a very subtle distinction between saying that the Atma is the seat of consciousness, it has tremendous ramifications in our whole, and we misunderstand reality. Just by a small little change. Seems like a small change, but it has tremendous ramifications. So this science of, Srila Prabhupada used the word science here, as he often uses, means it has to be understood very particularly and in detail and correctly. Just like in science, you can have a chemical factory. And in the chemical factory you can produce various plastics and polymers and so on. But if you don't know what you're doing properly, you can just have a big explosion. So instead of producing something useful to human society, you produce a big explosion. So the science should be in the hands of persons who know, who are experienced, and who are responsible. Otherwise, disaster. Medical science. You have to know what you're doing, otherwise, quack. Dangerous person. Anesthesia. You have to get it right. You get it wrong, it's very dangerous. If you put too much, you kill the patient, and if you don't put enough, they wake up in the middle of the operation. You got to get it right. You got to see the person's age, weight, medical history. It requires an expert. It requires several years of training just to give a little injection. You might know. You're just giving an injection. I can do that. If you don't get it right, you get it wrong, and the result is disastrous. So in the same way, it might seem that to teach the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, well, it's a very simple thing. We're not the body, and Krishna's God, and Haribol. But if you get it wrong, then the results can be disastrous. It might seem very easy, just like giving an injection to anesthetize the patient. Might seem like a very easy thing. Well, in one sense it is. But to get exactly the right formula requires that one, first of all, has to take the subject very seriously himself and understand the seriousness of it and attentively absorb the subject and be very responsible in practice. A doctor can make one mistake. If it's this, of course, everyone is prone to mistakes, but if a doctor makes some serious mistake, then even after years and years of practice, it can just be his doctor's license can be revoked. You're not allowed to make mistakes. Of course, everyone makes some little mistake. But if you make a major mistake which kills someone, you could just, you're not allowed to practice anymore. It's such a crucial practice. So in the same way, one who is teaching the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita really has to know it thoroughly. And just as doctors, they are expected to revise and go on study. You may say, well, I got my medical degree, MBBS it's called. In this country it'll be something else. But you have to keep on updating because they're discovering new things. Well, that kind of flips my whole argument, doesn't it? But the point is that there's always more to learn. And we shouldn't be complacent that we know everything, because we can't know everything about Bhagavad Gita, even if we read it 1,000 times. What to speak of one time? Oh, I read it. I read Bhagavad Gita. I already read it. Yeah, I know. I know Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, we're not the body, and Krishna's God, and that's it, right? But to understand it means we have to go through prayerfully, always be in the position. Even if one is in the position of guru, he himself has to always be in the position of tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnana jnanenas tattva darshinaha. He shouldn't think, well, now I'm tattva darshi. People are coming to me, bowing to me, serving me, inquiring from me. So I'm a tattva darshi, I know everything, and that's it. So I don't need to study anymore. But he always has to go deeper and understand in more clearly all the points. My one god brother, some of you know him, Basu Ghosh Prabhu, he told me, this was many years ago, he told me that once he went to have darshan of one revered Madhva Sampradaya Acharya, who was revered as a great teacher of spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the Vedanta knowledge. And when Basu Ghosh Prabhu went to see him, so he told me this, Acharya was more than 90 years old, and he came upon him, and this Acharya was reading, what was he reading? Nyai Sudha, which is the foundational text which is taught to all students of Madhva philosophy. In other words, it's beginner stuff, but he was reading it. It's beginner stuff, but it's not really beginner stuff, because it's deep. There's no, so he was reading that. He was studying it. Even though he must have given lessons in this thousands of times in his life, but he himself was studying it. There's always more to learn. It's the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, though it's 700 verses, is unlimited in its depth. Although the principles are simple. But it is important for us to imbibe those principles and to keep on imbibing those principles, because we live in a world wherein the general conception, new is best, not old is best, new is best. Must be better, right? What we knew yesterday, we must know more now. But no, what was given previously was full and complete knowledge, but due to the influence of time, that's becoming lost or distorted. When Krishna said this knowledge has become lost, he was speaking in a society that was much more Vedic, we can say, than it is today. Krishna was speaking to Arjuna so many principles which Arjuna had at least superficial knowledge of. Otherwise, how could Krishna have spoken to Arjuna using terms like Atma, Triguna, Paramatma, Maya? Obviously, Arjuna wasn't a new bhakta off the street of Zagreb. He already had a lot of background knowledge. The terms Atma, Jiva, Maya, and so on, they weren't new to him. But his understanding was faulty. In fact, he based his argument for not fighting on, a Vedic argument on the basis of dharma. He made his argument on the basis of this. But Krishna said, you got your understanding wrong. And Krishna spoke that we're not the body. Arjuna must have heard that before. It wasn't that Arjuna didn't know that. It wasn't that, really? Wow, we get born again and again? Oh, I never heard that before. Arjuna had heard it. When did he begin to hear it? It's just like anyone raised in Hindu culture or Buddhist or Jain or Sikh culture up to the present day, or Hare Krishna culture up to the present day, they don't know when they first heard it. It's just something which everyone knows, and it's not that it came across as a great revelation at any point in time, a new idea, but it's just inherent in the culture that we're born again and again and again, and we die again and again and again. So why did Krishna speak it to Arjuna? Because Arjuna hadn't properly understood it. He required to have it spelled out scientifically. And what are the implications of that? We may think that we know something, but in spiritual knowledge especially, we have to revisit and revise because we're in the atmosphere of Maya, and Maya is always trying to give us new ideas, something new. Why not dedicate fully to Krishna and go back to Godhead? Okay, let's do it. But wait a minute, there's a new iPhone. Let's just check that out. I can't go back to Godhead just now because there's a new iPhone coming out in 2 months, and I really want to check it out. Something new. I never saw it before. And everyone's talking about it, and it's going to be great. And I just got to get it. Something new. So this promise of something new is what keeps us in the material world. The carrot, the donkey's chasing after the carrot. After some time, the donkey gets fed up and thinks, I'll never get the carrot. So what is the rider on the donkey to do if the donkey becomes fed up of chasing after the carrot? Take the carrot away and put a new carrot. He thinks, oh, it's a new carrot. Oh, it's a straight one from Tesco's. Oh, let's check this out. It's a genetically modified carrot. Must be really good. Then I can have genetically modified sex with my genetically modified partner. If she didn't have a sex change operation in the meantime. Still I could. So it's something new. Why all this heterosex? Try out something new. You didn't find any fun going in the front side? Try going in the other side. Try something new. Try something different. Maya has many possibilities. Hoya Maya Das Kori Nana Obhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have many desires, and Maya creates more and more desires. And the whole modern society is based on this idea. We'll get more and more ways to enjoy ourselves. The advertisements offer new, they always say, new, improved surf. The surf previously, it was really good surf previously, but now we made it surf. You must have surf in Croatia, right? Surf washing powder? Yeah, it's everywhere, all over the world. So, the new improved, it's better. You just got to try it out. Your life can't be perfect and complete unless you use new improved surf. And so in this way, something new. Always something new. And in this way, Nate vidu swartha gatinghi vishnam durashaya ye bahiratana durashaya. This the idea that we have so many hopes and desires, and although we're frustrated, we think, oh, this, I didn't try this way. I tried having sex as a human, as a camel, as a chimpanzee, but it was a long time since I was a donkey, so let's try it as a donkey. So I got to take birth again to enjoy that. There's got to be something, some new way of doing things, where there's some pleasure. So in this way, we forget that the goal of life is Vishnu, because we're always enamored by the thought, something new, but there's nothing new. It's all the same. Birth, death, old age and disease. But the prospect of having something new, we find it very exciting, because we think, well, there must be pleasure here in this material world. There must be, right? I mean, everyone agrees. Everyone knows. The fact that everyone's failing to get any pleasure, well, that doesn't matter. Just means we have to dig in another place. Well, let's try somewhere else. Let's try something else. Do something else. Do something new. But Krishna says, don't. Forget all this new stuff. Get back to the real thing. The real thing doesn't change. The real thing is as He is, always. Our real position is with Krishna. But that's not boring. Krishna is always fresh. Nitya Navayamana. He's always as if new. This apparent newness of the material world, we're attracted to that because Krishna is always fresh. The cowherd boys, when they wake up in the morning and they run to Krishna, it's as if they'd never seen Krishna before. It's always blissful in a as if it doesn't become stale. It's always fresh and relishable. But in the material world, it's not. Same boring wife. Let's get another one. New one must be better. The fact that the old one was rejected by someone else doesn't make us think that I'll probably reject her after some time. So in this way, the illusion of thinking new is best. So old is best. Old is best. Of course, if it's old nonsense, then it's not best. But the real thing, the real thing is Krishna. What Krishna is speaking. So eva ayam vayate yoga prakta puratana. The relationship, yoga, the relationship, relation, the very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme. Yoga means linking with Krishna. So that is the topic. We find also that Srila Prabhupada warned us about making unnecessary changes. He said this changing is the Western disease. The idea that we always have to change everything. The idea that one manifestation of this would be to say that, well, the world Srila Prabhupada preached in was different, so we have to preach differently. Well, in some ways, yeah, the medium may be different. Actually, the same medium, the same activities, same basic activities, that won't change. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is singing, dancing, speaking the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, preparing, distributing prasadam, worshipping the deities. It's the same program. We may broadcast that via the internet nowadays. The medium may change. But the activity has to remain the same. Otherwise, it's not Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There are various kinds of yoga, and in the Western world, and in India nowadays also, the word yoga is generally understood to mean some bodily exercises. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. We don't have any record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or any of his disciples doing that. To propagate yoga is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. If by doing so we can bring people to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, all well and good. But if in doing so ourselves become somewhat akin to the Mayavadi teachers of yoga, then what's happening? Sakale deha mata yoga nashta parantapa. In not a very long time, we lost the essence. What is that? Happiness has to be sought. Can you remember that? You didn't see that t-shirt. True happiness can only be found within. Right? Who said that? Dalai Lama, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami said, true happiness has to be found within. How do I know Prabhupada said that? It's not in the Veda base anywhere. I never knew until last Saturday when I saw it on a t-shirt where it said, true happiness has to be found within. And then underneath is the signature, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Interesting. True happiness has to be found within. Sounds a good Dalai Lama quote, huh? Doesn't sound like a proper quote. And nowhere in these books you'll find this statement. True happiness means surrender to Krishna. True happiness is to be found within. That's the typical lingo of... lingo means slang, something like that. The impersonalists, they like to say things like this. To give an idea of spirituality without Krishna. Be spiritual, don't bring in Krishna. No God. I'm spiritual, but not religious. You heard that? Yeah. So if you don't like what Prabhupada said, you can just invent something and ascribe it to him and say you're following Prabhupada. But in this way, yoga nashta parantapa, that's deliberate tampering, malicious tampering with the message that Srila Prabhupada gave. So we can see how it's very easy to change things and forget that after all this movement is meant for speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, chanting the holy names of Krishna and imbibing and inculcating, you got that? The message Krishna te kila cheshta. That everything, all endeavors are meant for Krishna's happiness. Krishna consciousness is blissful. That's a fact. How is it blissful? Because we are all part and parcel of Krishna, who is the reservoir of pleasure, true pleasure, spiritual pleasure. If we surrender to Krishna, then we can partake in the happiness that Krishna kindly reciprocates with us. But if we think that Krishna consciousness is bliss, it's something for us to enjoy, then we lost the spirit. Then the yoga is not there. That is cause of viyoga. Yoga means addition, viyoga means subtraction. So we become away from Krishna. I had much experience of this during the years that I spent continuously in Bangladesh, where we attend Vaishnava festivals, and the whole idea is kirtan, mostly kirtan, a lot of kirtan, but the whole idea was ananda. Ki ananda. So how much we enjoy seeing the people jumping and singing and holding their hands on their heart and singing in a very emotional voice. But there was no idea that we should purify our existence. Kaena manasa buddhya, kevala indriya arapi, yogina karma kuravanti, sangam tyaktvatma shuddhye. Everything the yogi does with mind, body and words is meant for purification, for becoming detached from this material world. So there's no such idea that bhakti is something that we enjoy. So in this way, although they had the culture of Krishna consciousness. But the proper spirit was lost. So in the same way, if we encourage within our society kirtan, let's have kirtan mela, and who bring all the best singers and the best musicians, and let's have a good time. If that attitude is there, then we go home and we go on with our regular life. We worship our deities. First of all, you have to pet your dog and pat the dog on the head. Then you worship the deity, because you have to satisfy the Vaishnavas, and my dog's a Vaishnava. So this idea, or that, we'll have a festival of colors. Very good idea. We'll throw all colors, and we'll all be happy, and it's all bliss, and we'll play some kirtan cassette, or kirtan sounds while it's going on. And it'll all take prasadam. And in this way, of course, prasadam means, anyway, you can buy something from the shop, because it's all bliss, it's all Krishna's. So in this way, when we lose the spirit of surrendered service to Krishna, I am meant for Krishna's service. I must act as Krishna wants me to act. And think that, well, bhakti is for my pleasure. So this is one way in which it doesn't take a long time to contaminate the whole spirit of bhakti. How is it lost? Then if the teachers stop teaching as they should teach, then someone will come. Well, first of all, if the teachers stop teaching as they should teach, and they just say, hey, anyway, they're chanting Hare Krishna. Anyway, it's okay. Anyway, they're chanting Hare Krishna. What does it matter? Then the tendency to, the inherent tendency that, oh, let me satisfy my senses, that will come, that will arise. Unless we regularly speak of the need to control the mind and senses and not indulge the mind and senses in anything but Krishna's service, if we don't differentiate clearly between what is pleasing to Krishna and what is not pleasing to Krishna, then we will gravitate, due to our long-standing material desires and contamination and conditioning, then we will gravitate toward enjoying our senses, even in the name of Krishna consciousness. So if the teachers don't teach what requires to be taught, then automatically, then yoga nashta, the proper teaching will be lost. And then someone else will come and teach all nonsense, rascaldom. And because we don't have proper understanding, clear understanding, it may sound very right. Just like the Atma is consciousness. The Atma is the seat of consciousness. It's just two words difference. What difference does it make? It makes the whole difference between being a rascal Mayavadi and being a surrendered servant of Krishna, which is day and night difference. So how careful we have to be to preserve the parampara. Siddhanta balaya chitte nakaraha alash yaha hoite Krishna lage surira manosh. We should not be lazy in understanding siddhanta, proper understanding. Not just this understanding, that understanding, this way, that way. Anyway, what does it matter? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the main thing is be happy, not chanting Hare Krishna. That's the first thing. Be happy, and if you're happy, you can chant Hare Krishna. If you're not, then be happy in another way. Main thing is be happy. You see, Prabhupada said, be happy, right? So that's our philosophy. Be happy. That's all. But how to be happy? That is the whole teaching of Shastra, how to actually be happy on the spiritual platform. So this principle, we have to stick to the same teachings. Don't change. Especially this yukta vairagya is very dangerous, that we can use everything of this world in Krishna's service. But the things of the world, they are produced for sense gratification. Just like this, I was speaking of iPhones. So they were produced for sense gratification. We can use it in Krishna's service. But there's the whole world of Maya is right there in your iPhone. At least as much as these rascals have discovered so far. There's always more to discover. So that can be very dangerous also. Or the idea that we should live very luxuriously, we should have big fancy cars and then people will respect us. Yeah, maybe. But if the desire for the big fancy car, then they'll respect us, then we can preach. But unless we have a very strong desire to preach, then in the name of Yukta Vairagya, we'll have a big fancy car and be enjoying it just like a sense enjoyer. Of course, none of you will, because you don't have money for big fancy cars. You're lucky. Maybe some of you have a big fancy car. So these things can be very dangerous. Also, time, place, and circumstance. That's another excuse for messing everything up. We have to be very sincere, very clearly here. Understand. Stick to the old thing. Don't be lax. Don't be loose. Stick to the correct path. Kshurasya dhara nishita durataya. Durgang patastat kavayo vadanti. The whole path is like a razor's edge. The whole path is like a razor's edge. Be very careful. Otherwise we'll cut ourselves. Say those who know things, that's what they say. Do you feel sorry I said none of you could afford a big car? Do you think I'm insulting you? Is that an insult? Among materialists, if you say, oh, you're not rich, you don't have lots of money, that's like an insult, isn't it? I hope you don't feel insulted. If you did, that means you didn't understand anything from Bhagavad Gita. Better read it again and again. Don't feel insulted that you don't have lots of money. You're not big, rich, prestigious people in human society. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we are surrendered servants of Krishna. And if circumstantially you happen to have some position in society, then let people know that you're a servant of aspiring servant of Krishna. But don't think I'm better because I have bigger salary or bigger car. Then that's another form of Maya. Anyway. Hare Krishna. The old thing. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this place? Old questions. They're all old questions. There are no new ideas. We think we have some new philosophy. How many days of Brahma have there been? How many Kali Yugas have there been? How many Kali Yuga philosophy? How many times? Same bogus ideas. Yeah, any question? Any ladies?
Hare Krishna, my humble
obeisances
to you.
Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I have a question about when you are talking about modern things that are not good and the old things, traditional that are good.
Modern things that are not good. Well, I didn't exactly say that, but modern things, they're mostly produced not for good reasons, but if they're used in the service of Krishna, they can be good. Some things, just like atom bombs, I guess they could be used in the service of Krishna. Atom bombs are out of date, aren't they? Yeah, I guess it's possible to use it in the service of Krishna, but not very commonly. Otherwise, iPhones, I get example, can be used in the service of Krishna. It's not inherently bad. Can be used in the service of Krishna. You can phone someone and say, come to the temple. So, all right. So, not necessarily bad.
If we are promoting traditional things which are bored, they say that then we are fanatics, that we are doing...
Then, if we promote things which are old, they'll say we're fanatics. It's not just that. Anything we say, they'll say we're fanatics. They're opposition. They won't agree. That's right, yeah. That's true.
And how then you can survive if they're putting you the wrong label?
Putting you in the wrong label. How can you survive? Well, anad bhavanti bhutani. We live on food. The bodies survive on food grains. So people may call you bad names, but Krishna gives food. How is the survival affected? How can you live if people are criticizing you? We have to practice and preach Krishna consciousness. We're going to be blamed by others, for sure. Guaranteed. You don't want to be blamed by anyone? Practically impossible. Whatever you do, someone will criticize you. If you do nothing, someone will criticize you. So what will you do? You go and live in some cave somewhere. Then you won't hear people criticizing you. And then after some time, some TV crew will come and say, oh look, there's someone living in a cave. They'll come and film you. The desire to not be criticized is a major socializing factor which binds us in the material world. Eat your meat. The mother may say to the child, eat more bacon, it'll make you strong. So the child becomes chastised by the mother for not eating enough bacon. So in this way, by criticism, we are taught to do what is right and what is wrong. From the mother's point of view, eating the bacon is required for the child, and the child doesn't want to be criticized by the mother. So the child eats the bacon. So in this way we respond to criticism. We modify our behavior. We learn behavior by observing others and learning what is right and what is wrong. In Croatia, in general, it's considered wrong or strange or not to eat bacon, I guess. Eat bacon right here. Is it, yeah? And not you, but most people. So, if we're going to be Krishna conscious, we can expect, because we do many, many things that are not normal according to Croatian society or Serbian society or Western society in general or materialistic Kali Yuga society. So, you want to be a normal Croatian? Then next life you can become Croatian bacon. You can become a nice big fat Croatian pig. So be ready for criticism. It's not the worst thing. Hare Krishna. I'll take one more question, then we'll finish. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the lecture. As you already mentioned in the lecture,
But I didn't say that. I didn't say that we usually take Yukta Vairagya very cheaply. But I warned against taking it cheaply.
How can we be protected?
How can we be protected? First, there has to be a spirit of Vairagya, of detachment. Then Yukta, then we can engage it. If there's no spirit of Vairagya and we simply engage ourselves with the objects of the world, then it'll be in the spirit of enjoyment. So first there has to be a spirit of enjoyment. As the verse says, anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayanjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchate. So the first thing is anasaktasya, for a person who is not attached to this world, or not attached to this sense enjoyment of this world, anasaktasya vishayan, who knows how to use things properly, in relationship to Krishna, that is called yukta vairagya. So all these conditions have to be there. Hare Krishna. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.